The following message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, June 28, 2026, 1 Timothy 6, 11-16.
Since our nation is marking an occasion, permit me to take you back about 250 years. At that time, there was no proper army for America, and there weren't trained, disciplined troops who could stand up to fight for battle. Sure, there was a continental army of sorts, and there were the militia who just kind of were farmers who knew how to shoot squirrels, but didn't know how to march in line or obey orders. But then, 250 years ago, on July 2nd, the Continental Congress made a motion and declared independence. And they were going to write up that declaration, which we celebrate on the 4th of July. And here we see, at this time, they were kind of up against a large army, so they had to prepare for a fight. And to his undisciplined, untrained, outmatched, outnumbered, outgunned troops, General Washington gave this general order, starting with the troops in New York, saying, "The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be freemen or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can still call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed, and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness and from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend, under God, on the courage and conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die." General Washington gave that to his troops on Tuesday, July 2nd, 1776. Could you imagine being one of those troops and hearing that you are now going to leave your farm, join the militia, you are going to stand up with the Continental Army, put on your uniform, if you even had one, and follow orders to fight for this protection and freedom? Maybe you caught what George Washington was doing. He was pointing to the alternative, the fears of what will happen if you don't stand up and fight. But there was also the positive. What will happen for untold millions who will enjoy the freedoms that you're fighting for? Well, imagine being called up to fight in such a way. Have you? Are you? Are you in a struggle to fight for what is good? And is it a fight for true freedom? Are we like those that Moses commanded to take that sword on their side and turn against our own family members and brothers? Are we like those that Jesus, we said, must be turned against our own family members if it means following God? That type of a fight. A spiritual warfare. That's what the Apostle Paul writes about as he writes to a young pastor. In the letter he wrote to Timothy, he gives various instructions for various parts of the church and how to conduct church life. He passes on Timothy instructions for how they're to conduct themselves as a Christian church. And as they enjoy this wonderful liberty and freedom they found in Christ, that is, freedom from guilt, freedom from death, freedom from the tyranny of the devil, the Apostle Paul gets to the end of the letter and he enlists, so to speak, Timothy, and tells him to prepare to fight and to continue to fight. And what we're going to see today is his reasons for fighting. Washington gave very many fearful reasons, and certainly we could list all the things that could be lost, but that's not the case here. When Paul enlists Timothy to fight the good fight, he's actually giving him all the positive things that are his and that he is fighting for, and helps him to see just how he is to fight until the very end. He says to Timothy, "But you, man of God, flee from all this." Flee from what? Well, he had just mentioned the trap of those who are just mere mercenaries. Mercenaries who are fighting so they can gain the riches for themselves. No, it's said that those who are fighting for their own freedom fight much harder. Paul's saying, flee from those false pastors who seek to gain their own personal gain as they try to become rich or try to gain prestige or power. He says, no, man of God, flee from that. That's not what you're fighting for. If you're going to be a true servant of the Lord, you're fighting for what is good. We read in 1 Timothy 6, starting at verse 11, he says, flee from that and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Wait, what kind of fight is this? This is a fight to pursue godliness and righteousness. This is a fight to chase after what Christ has attained for us, his holy word. Timothy was the one that Paul said, you have been given the scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation. He says, Timothy, guard that, what Christ has attained. Hold on to that and pursue it. And godliness, the very opposite of discontent, chasing after riches and wealth, but pursuing the Lord's will. And he says, faith, love. You can't have one without the other, Timothy. You can have and hold to the teaching, the sound faith, but if you don't have love, it's empty. But Timothy, if you have love and you say, it doesn't matter, it's just God loves everyone, but you don't have sound teaching, what good is that love if it doesn't emulate and follow God's love? And Timothy, pursue endurance. This is going to be a long struggle. When the army following under George Washington started to fight, they quickly learned they needed, more than anything, endurance. They couldn't outgun, they couldn't outmaneuver, they couldn't outman the army that was up against them, but just maybe they could out-endure and outlast. And much of Washington's fighting was actually avoiding utter defeat by not being utterly squashed by the British forces. In our Christian life, we're called to remain under, in faith, to hold to the goal, and not let our enemy, that is the devil, the world, and even our own sinful flesh, drag us down. But he says, pursue endurance. And maybe when you hear that, you might think, well, if I'm fighting for God, I'm going to endure, and I'm going to trample over all the enemies of God. I'm going to make sure that everybody who speaks anything false is going to be trampled over. And yet he says this. He says, in gentleness. Maybe at that point you step back and say, what kind of fight is this? This is a fight where we're enduring, where we're facing all the attacks of the false teachers, the attacks of persecution, the attacks of our own sinful heart. And yet he says, remain gentle and pursue gentleness in that fight. Paul calls this a good fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. When someone hears of the word fight, they often see it as combative or something that divides. And maybe we might be tempted to think that when we become Christians or when we're enlisted to be servants of the Lord, that that service is merely to love, and yet he says, hold on to the faith. Or that service is merely to be godly, but it's to be gentle as you do so. And it's merely to endure, but it's to endure holding to the truth. This is something where God calls on us to fight a good fight. For those who are lost in darkness, those who are struggling in the tyranny of sin and death, they're facing condemnation in hell, they're enslaved to sin. So it's a good fight, because this type of a struggle is not against the mere forces of this world. Our struggle, as the Apostle Paul tells the Ephesian Christians, is not against mere flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's against those who seek to devour souls and pull them away from the goodness of God and into darkness, condemnation, and destruction. This is a good fight, Paul tells Timothy. It's worth fighting for. But Paul's not going to dwell on merely the struggles or the things that can be lost. This is a good fight because of this. He says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession. Brothers and sisters, many of you here or one of our sister churches or in other ways have made a confession of faith. Some say this is maybe when Timothy came to faith. We know his grandmother and mother were believers, and later on, Timothy himself came to make that confession, to say in front of others, I believe in Jesus. I'm letting go of my own self-righteousness. I'm letting go of all the things of this world around me that I'm supposed to pursue according to the world. I'm going to pursue Christ and His righteousness. And Paul's saying he made the good confession because Timothy said, everything else is considered nothing apart from knowing Christ and His forgiveness and the power of His resurrection. Timothy made that good confession probably also, it says, in the presence of many witnesses when he was installed as a pastor to serve the Ephesian Christians. And those Ephesian believers where he stood heard him say, I will fight for you, and I'm fighting for Christ. A faithful servant of Christ does this. They recognize they're in a fight. And Christ calls them to endure in that fight. Though the world might tempt them to fall aside to so many traps and pitfalls, where they turn aside from the truth of God's word, he says, hold on to the good confession that you made in the presence of many witnesses. Both pastors and members in this church body make a public confession of their faith. That is, telling the world around them, this is what I hold to. Because there's so much confusion. There's so many paths that will cause us to turn off of endurance to a lack of clarity. And finally, it no longer is a good fight because you're not serving Christ but self. But here he says, you made a good confession. And so he says, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who will testify before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, keep this command. How are you going to fight, Timothy? God is the one who gave you life. He will preserve and protect your life against all the enemies. And Jesus made the good confession. For all the times that you and I have failed to speak up and fight this good fight, there he was. Can you picture him serving the Father perfectly as he stands before the governor? And the governor says, are you a king? And Jesus says, you're right in saying I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. And you would have no authority over me if the one who is above you had not given it to you. Jesus made that confession of who he was, knowing where it would lead him. The crowds clamored for his death, but Jesus confessed to the very end and held to the truth that he had come to redeem this world. And Timothy knew he was not making a confession before a hostile world simply that would put him to death. He was confessing along with Jesus. God has a plan. His plan is centered in his Son who spoke faithfully the truth. And his Son died to redeem me from my sin. I will follow him in making my confession, even if it means to the point of death. Because Jesus, that one who made that good confession, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the only blessed King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in inapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Jesus lives. And the Apostle Paul and Timothy and every believer after have fought the good fight knowing there's something good in store. The victory has been won. Our King of kings lives. And we will follow him past the fight. We will endure because he endured and because he has given us all that we need. And we fight this fight not by our own strength. He says, fight the good fight, as he told the Ephesian Christians, with the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth, and with the shield of faith that will extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. No, you're not being called to enlist in any army at this time, thank God. You're not being called to strap a gun or a sword to your side and fight against others, but you are being called to serve Christ. And with that, and with the good confession of Jesus, you are being invited to hold to your confession, the eternal life that has been given you in Christ. And even though there will be those who will cause you to sway or swerve aside with full confidence in the work of God, make your good confession. Confess with believers before the world that this is a good fight. Jesus lives, and we will live with him in his kingdom forever. Amen.